Good morning, ACRC, and welcome to our Labor Day service. It's so great to see some people we know, as well as some new faces today. Let's thank God for his model of instituting the first Labor Day when he took the Sabbath rest on the seventh day by doing the same and resting in him as we worship. So perhaps a little bit on the ironic side, Joan would like to remind people that we need some workers for moving Diane Smitham. She is going to need a truck, and we're hoping to move her by Labor Day, which is, by Tuesday, which is a couple days from now. So if you can provide some muscle, or if you have any way to get, is it a pickup truck? Mm-hmm. Great, so just a couple of items for that, and so that would just be great if you knew anyone who had a truck, or and if you could provide some muscle. I'm hoping to get over there maybe tomorrow if something happens. It should be really fun. Also, we do not have a church lunch today because it's Labor Day weekend, and so everyone's getting their rest, so there's going to be no church lunch today. Please. Note that we have Communion Sunday next week, and also that we're going to have Kids Connection next week. So if you have a special little person that you'd like to bring, next week would be a great time to bring them. There are a number of other announcements. There's a Taze at the end of the month. There's a volunteer opportunity to go to help with the PowerPoint. A few people have been doing an amazing job with that PowerPoint, so if you are technologically savvy or looking for a great place to serve, that would be a great place to be helpful. We've got a couple of things about missions and Hurricane Ida, so if you want to, if you've got some led by the Spirit to really help with some of that missions work, it would be amazing if you checked out the bulletin for details about how you could really support those folks that have been suffering in those disaster-led places. So let us worship together. Oh, everyone, please stand. Our call to worship is from Revelation. Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you alone are holy. Let's praise God together by singing How Great Thou Art.
Thank you. Hear God's greeting. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. And our call to confession this morning is, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.
Good morning. Let us do prayer of confession. For the times we have lied to one another and the times we have been lied to, forgive debtors as we forgive our debtors. For the times we have laughed at another's pain and the times we have been laughed at, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For the times we have spoken when we should have remained silent, and the times we have remained silent when we should have spoken. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For the times we have not respected another's freedom to be different from us, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For the times we have betrayed a friend, and the times we have been betrayed, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us, O God, for the many ways we fall short of your glory. Help us to learn to be together according to your ways through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our assurance of God's pardon come from John 3:16-17. Hear the good news. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Friends, this is the good news. Thanks be to God. Now our hymn comes from Like a River Glorious. Let us sing.
Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. And let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you on a peaceful Sunday and a holiday weekend in which we celebrate the work you have given us to do, and with gratitude for the times you have given us for family, for the beauty of your creation, and fellowship with one another. And we are reminded that perfect peace comes only from trusting in you, and knowing that under your mighty hand, nothing can befall us that will not draw us ever closer to you and your kingdom of love. You have shown us what love is by sending your Son to pay the ransom for our sins and to teach us to forgive the wrongs done to us as we have been forgiven. You have poured out your love upon us. Help us to love others as we have been loved. Fill us with your Spirit, that we may be charitable to those in need and patient with those who require patience. Let us be devoted to one another and at peace with all those around us. Help each of us to serve you with joy and to live our lives in faith, hope, and love. Lord, as we look around seeing the evil that people do and the misery that sin causes in your world, help us to overcome evil with good and never let Satan fool us into thinking that we can overcome evil with evil. Give us courage to do the best we can and to wait for your salvation. And we ask your mercy on our world, where fires blaze out of control, where the rising temperatures in the oceans are producing storms of destructive fury. We ask you to care for those who have lost their homes, their livelihoods, their loved ones because of these disasters. And we pray for those who have lost these things through war, oppression, and persecution. We pray that you will give those people and governments and agencies that work to alleviate suffering the resources they need. Lord, we pray for those who have lost their way in our world, those who have turned to drugs and crime as a way of life, and those whose souls have become blind to spiritual truth. Give your church love for them and help us to find ways to bring them out of darkness. In our congregation and among those dear to us, Father, we have many who need your healing touch. We pray for Esther and Paulina. We pray for Dennis and Bud Gallagher, for Pastor Dave and John DeLillo, for Nancy and Mrs. Choi and Daniel Park. You know their special needs, and we entrust them to your gentle hand. We thank you for the healing you have given to Stephanie and Kyle Brooks, and we ask you to keep their cancer from coming back. We pray for those who are in pain and those in care facilities, for Arenda and Keiko, for Helen and Winnie, and for Diane. We pray for Linda, Camille, and all those who are mourning. We pray for those who are undergoing stress at home and at work. And on this Labor Day weekend, we pray for those who need to find work. We pray for all those who are traveling. We pray for Nikki and for Christy. Almighty God, we pray that you will guide our church through these uncertain times. We pray that you will show us clearly what sort of church you want us to be and who it is that can lead us where you want us to go. We thank you for your faithful leadership on our council and the hard work of so many in our congregation to keep us going. But we long to do so much more. We long to be light to our community and a channel of your compassion to those around us. Jesus told us that when we see how great the need is, we must pray for more workers, and we do that this morning. We pray this also for your church around the world. We pray for all those who will preach the good news today and for all who will hear it. We pray now that you will bless the offering we are about to receive for the general fund of our church, and we pray that your Spirit will continue to be present with us and with Pastor Hewitt as he preaches your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we welcome Mark Hewitt back into our pulpit.
Going to be made right again, but we know somebody's going to take care of it. So we are thankful to all the people who labor in our midst and in our society. And also we are thankful for work in general, because work is a blessing for us. It's a blessing to us from God to be able to work with our hands and to be useful to other people and to help be part of a community. And it's not always about money. Work is not always correlated to money, because we know that some of the people who work hardest in our world don't see a penny for the work that they are doing, and for them we are also thankful. This morning we're looking at Revelation chapter 21, the second last chapter of the entire Bible. Revelation 21, in my translation, it's entitled The New Jerusalem. So I will read the whole chapter of Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, and the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. And on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates in the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 in the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. He measured its wall, and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth chameleon, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. This is the word of the Lord. If we ever travel or go on vacation to a place that we've never been to, we kind of want to know a little bit about where we're going. We want some pictures of where we're going. We want some information about what we're going to do, what's there to see. And maybe we want to talk to an eyewitness, somebody who's been there before, to prepare for our trip or our vacation. After all, it's going to be a new place and could be somewhat threatening. As we plan to go to heaven, about which we read in Scripture, we're in for a bit of a surprise. We're in for a bit of a shock. Because the information that we have for us about heaven is not very clear. It's not very specific. And that information that we do have leaves as many questions unanswered as it does answer. What we have in Scripture is a word picture of what our heavenly dwelling will be like. But unfortunately for us, the picture that we get is a little bit fuzzy. And heaven itself for us remains rather mysterious. But even though we don't know exactly what heaven will look like, we can look forward to it with confidence, because it will be as great a place as we can ever think or imagine. Probably the most difficult part of understanding what heaven is like is that we are told that it's not going to be like what we have here. God tells us that he will make all things new. Well, what does that mean, that things are made new? How is it going to be different from what we have here? Living on planet Earth, we only have a few decades to kind of understand of what's going on here and be comfortable with what we have here. The laws of physics, how gravity works, how to form relationships with other people, how to get along within society and within communities, how to understand how businesses work or politics works. And then we die and we are told that it's going to be all made new. Well, how is it going to be made new? Will we have bodies similar to what we have now? Will the physical laws still be in effect? Can we buy and sell? Will there be rap music or rock and roll music? I'm pretty sure in heaven there won't be any country music. But Scripture is silent on so many things. It doesn't tell us. we're left to wonder. And that can be very humbling for a preacher to get up and say, I don't know. It's not clear. We're not certain. It can be very humbling for Christians to say, I don't know. Especially when we are challenged by other people. What do you mean, heaven? Where is it? Many scientists have come forth and said, well, we have telescopes up in the universe now looking around to everything, and we don't see heaven up there. Where is your heaven? And the best we can do is say, I don't know. In the Old Testament, we were given a very vague picture of what happens in the afterlife. The place of the afterlife is called Sheol, S-H-E-O-L, which basically means the underworld or the place of the dead. And it's not really fleshed out exactly what happens there, what it's like or where it is. It's just very vague. Unfortunately, the New Testament is not much clearer. But no matter what we find, we can be sure that we will not be disappointed. Because Scripture tells us that there will be no tears. We will have an immense joy because God is with us. There will be no more injustice. Everything will be complete. Contentment. Perfection. That sounds really good, but it leaves us with so many questions. There will be no tears because Jesus will be in the center of the city. There will be no need for light because the light of God's love will shine forth 24/7. The gates will never be shut because there will be no fear, no night, no worry, only peace. The picture that we have of heaven that comes to us in Scripture is a place of perfection. We read about that in Revelation 21, that everything is complete and perfect. It's a place of gold and jewels, a place of a lot of 12s. And we know in Scripture 12 is a perfect number. The 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 disciples, everything the way it is supposed to be. Heaven is given us as a picture of a large city. 12,000 stadia on each side and 12,000 stadia high, which is basically a cube of about 1,400 miles each way. Well, what does that mean? If it was in the United States, a square of 1,400 yards, 1,400 miles on each side would take up half of the country. And when we go to Denver, the mile-high city that's only a mile above sea level, it's a little bit difficult to breathe. So 1,400 miles up above sea level, you can't breathe up there. What does that even mean? But the number and the description is to enforce upon us its perfection. Further, we're told that the city will be made of precious stones and gold. What exactly that means to us, what we'll experience of that, is not always so clear. And maybe it is because God is trying to put something into words that we understand that in our present form we can't understand. How do we reach out to children when we want to communicate with them? Well, we get down on their level and we share something with them in a way that they can understand. We say, well, the answer to your question, it's kind of like this in terms that you know, but that doesn't fully answer the question. When Jesus came into the world and emptied himself and came down to our level, he did so that we would understand. So that we would see in very physical form those ideas that were too great for us. How do we, for instance, communicate the concept of color to a blind person? How can we explain it to them? We see, we understand, but it's a concept that they have no grasp of and cannot have a grasp of. And so maybe God, in explaining heaven to us and explaining the afterlife and how things work out, is like trying to explain physics to an ant. An ant can't understand. An ant is just an ant walking around and doing what it does. But we are assured that God is in our midst. That God loves us and will be present with us in life and in death. The best description in my experience of understanding what our afterlife is like happened to me back when I was in college. After a couple of years living on campus, I made the decision to move off campus. And I met a man who was a few years older than me, who had finished his education. And he decided he was going to buy a house and set up a Christian community where students from different backgrounds and different schools could come and live together. And around the table that we would discuss biblical ideas or just our lives with one another. And into the evening we could discuss philosophy or theology or whatever. He wanted a Christian community that we could, where we could live together and share with one another and take turns cooking and clean the house together. And this was his vision. And he bought a house and he invited me over. I knew some of the guys who were going to be living there, and he said, you know, this is what it's going to look like. But the house wasn't in that great shape when he invited me over to look at it. He said, oh, don't worry about this. I'm going to pull out the carpet and the main floor, and I'm going to sand down the floors to make the really nice wood floors. And I'm going to decorate the walls, and there's a couple of bedrooms upstairs, and in the basement I'll have you and a couple of other guys living down in the basement. I said, oh, the basement? What's the basement? He took me down into the basement, and it was dirty, it was musty, it was damp. It wasn't any condition to be fit for an animal to live, let alone a student. There were some old tires and piles of ceiling tiles, junk all over. There was this big air vent, this air duct that was went through the room. He said, yeah, I'm going to put three students down here. I thought, you've got to be kidding. I don't want to live down here. He said, no, I'm going to have several beds. I'm going to have a couple of desks, and it's going to be really nice. I had to trust him because I was going away for the summer. I had to trust that he was going to do what he said he was going to do and make this basement into an actual room that was livable. When Jesus said, I am going away and I will make a place for you, the disciples didn't understand, but they trusted him. We can trust God, the promises that he makes to us. Thankfully, when I returned in the fall, yes, Gene had done the things that he said he was going to do, and it was a beautiful room with carpeted floor and paneled walls, and yes, three beds and three desks, and it was what he said it was going to be. We can trust that God will make our eternity everything that he says it will be, because we trust in him, and he has promised to be with us in life and in death, to love us with the complete and full love that he has for each and every one of us. Let us pray together. O Lord, our God, we thank you that the promises you make to us are firm and can be trusted. We thank you that you are for us and with us in life and in death. In whatever our future holds, we know that you will be there. Thank you for the promise of heaven. Thank you that we can know you through Jesus Christ. that you make us into the people that you have created us for. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. God's parting blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and continue to be with you all. And all God's people said, Amen.